Shit, can I fill up my water real quick?
Yeah, go ahead.
Bro, when we start recording. Oh, my
Absolutely not. Where the hell?
bad.
The fuck you thought this was?
Hey guys, welcome back to Cuenta Cuenta Podcast. This is Angela.
It's your girl Tessa.
What's up, guys? It's Ed.
And this is KP.
What's up, y'all? A guest on the pod today. This is Raphael. He's a multi-talented artist that specializes in photography, urban legend content, and music. He hails from New York City, was raised in Jacksonville, Florida, and you can now find him on the streets of Seattle, Washington. What's up, Raphael?
Woo!
That was really cute. I'm blushing. Thank you.
You got another Woo! Florida man on the pod. There you go.
Dude, you'll see Yay! Him in the news eventually.
So how do you and Ed know each other?
Ooh, shoot. Okay, I was telling my friend about this the other day, actually. I think it was 2016 in New York Comic Con. And I saw him and his group. They were dressing up as My Hero Academia. And I was like, yo, let me take a picture of y'all. So I did that. And then we exchanged contacts. And then after that, he asked me, he was like, hey, are you from Jacksonville? Because I had stories of my place. And he was like, yo, I'm from there. Is that how we met, Ed?
Yeah, that's exactly how it was. Yeah.
Yeah. And then we just kept contact from there.
Oh.
Yeah. Ever since then, I was just like, oh, another Filipino from Jacksonville? Okay. Yeah. Bet. Like, there's no other choice now. We have to be friends.
I like how you guys can like smell Florida on each other. Like,
no, I there's think it was because we exchanged, like, yeah, no, yeah, we exchanged Instagrams and you were like, wait, are you from Jacksonville? Because it said Jacksonville on my Instagram and I've since changed that. But then I was like, yeah, bro. And you were like, oh, yeah, shit, I'm from there. And I was like, oh, shit, yo, me. Like, no way.
That's the same.
It was really dumb, but yes.
Yeah. And I think one time we were there at the same time during COVID. And I was like, yo, I'm
we were
sick.
Both there. Yeah.
Yeah, we're about to meet up. And you're like, no, let's not do
yeah,
that.
Yeah, I was like, no, we can't. Yeah, what did you do during COVID?
I still worked because I work in the hospital, right?
Okay.
But there's like no cases or anything. So we're just there. Yeah, we're just sitting, trying to kill time, usually just sitting on my phone on a patient's room. And that was it.
Oh, wow.
There were no cases in Florida?
Like, no, I was in Washington.
Oh, okay. At the time.
Okay,
yeah.
Got it.
So you're also a nurse?
I'm not a nurse. I'm not the typical Filipino who's a nurse. I'm so I'm a cardiovascular invasive specialist. And yeah, not a lot of people know what that is. Yeah. But it's basically I help fix and prevent heart attacks with the doctor.
Wow.
It's okay.
Yeah, thank you for letting the rest of everybody else know, because I knew.
I knew it had to deal with heart attacks, just like cardiovascular, but I was like, what else? What else is there?
Yeah.
Invasive, yes.
How long have you been doing it?
I've been doing it for, honestly, I think it was about 7 years. Yeah.
That's been a minute. That's cool.
What made you get into it?
Okay. Well, I went to nursing school, right? But when I got into the program itself, I wasn't into it like all my classmates. And I was like, man, I don't think I want to do this. So I dropped out. And then my dad was like, yo, we got to let you do something. You can't just sit at home and do nothing. And I was like, okay, sure. So he signed me up for Concord University, like one of those trade schools.
Yeah.
And so I started doing surgical technology. So that's just like being in the operating
room. Surgical tech. Okay, cool.
Surgical tech, yeah. And I did that for like 2 years. And then there was like an emergency that happened that was in like the back of our department. And it was really scary because like someone came in with a stroke. And one of the doctors was like, yo, we need anyone to just help us. And so I was the only person that was in his field of view. So he was like, all right, you're coming back here. And I was like, oh man, okay. So patient rolls in. And I didn't know what to do. This guy was dying in front of me. And I felt, I felt helpless. And I felt really sad that I couldn't do anything. And so after that, I kind of looked up the field and I found out that they had a new program in Jacksonville and signed up for it. And that's how I got into the program. Just to tell myself, I don't want to feel that helpless anymore. That kind of stuff.
I love that. Wow. So it really was, you were just kind of, it was thrust upon you and you were like, I'm gonna, this is where I'm doing now.
Yep, that was that.
You got straight up Peter Parker, bro.
Pretty much, man.
You had
pretty
your
much.
Uncle Ben moment. I like that. It's like the next day, you're just like, all right, I need my web cartridge. You put your mask on with your like pokey eyes. I like that.
Pretty much. Random fact, me and Peter Parker have the same birth date, August 10th.
Oh.
No.
Oh, yeah. It's wild.
Oh, you're like Pedro Parker. You know, like, yeah, you know, like, what do you call it? Like, Into the Spider-Verse?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Where they had the Pravita Pravater. Yeah, that's our freaking Filipino. We're like Pedro, anong.
Anong tawag ka? Pedro.
Anong Pedro, Pedro.
Pedro, Arachne.
Anong, what's a P? What's a, oh, help me. What's a P last name?
Pascual.
Pedro Pascual. You're Pedro Pascual. You're Pedro Pascual. Put it on a shirt, Angela. Pedro Pascual. You're Pedro Pascual. Yeah.
That's beautiful. I love that.
Yeah, I like that. You would be like Spider-Man, but like it's like more like, oh, I'm Spider-Man, but like I'm in the medical field because I'm Filipino.
Heck yeah, I like that. So here's a question for y'all. DC or Marvel?
DC.
Ooh.
DC. Who said DC?
I have to say Marvel because I'm in that universe. So
okay.
I would say DC Comics, Marvel filmography.
Image? No, I go with like Spawn. No, God, that's hard. I'm gonna have to say though, like if you gave me two dishes like on a plate and one was DC and one was Marvel, I feel like I would eat the DC, but I would pick at the Marvel.
Oh,
like if that makes sense. I'd be like, I would finish my DC plate.
Uh-huh.
But
that
was not an
option, KP.
Yeah, you have to pick one.
Huh?
You have to pick one.
Pick one, KP.
I don't know. What's the Jughead comic? DC then. I grew up with like the whole dang, but what did I grow up with? I grew up with Marvel. I grew up with like Wolverine and Psylocke and the X-Men and freaking.
That sounds like you picked Marvel. All right.
I also grew up with Wonder Woman and Batman. Oh, yeah. And freaking. Oh, I don't know. I'm not eating. I'm not eating, guys.
You're not eating. Well, if it helps you, Marvel has 8 Filipino characters where DC has 3.
Mm-hmm. Which one of the 3?
I don't even know.
Name all the Filipino characters and all the universes.
Filipino, DC.
So Jacob Batalon, of course.
Oh, you know, I'm not even counting like actors.
Marvel.
I was like,
Marvel
like
has Wave. Y'all know about Wave? I'm going to look her up quick.
Yeah, and then there's
Yeah, Wave is pretty dope, actually. She's like an Aquaman.
Yeah.
She's pretty dope. Hold up. I'm gonna look it up.
That makes sense.
Ari Agbayani is another hero that's Filipino in the MCU.
What's their powers?
These are great questions.
Earl
Pangan. I defer to Tessa.
Are they characters? They're characters? The MCU?
The main Marvel 616.
She can blink. She survived the blip.
She breathes.
She breathes quietly.
Water manipulation, water blast, amphibian. Superhuman strength. She's a professional swimmer. And she's a swordsman. Here, I'm gonna link it.
Forget Girl with Backpack.
Girl with Backpack.
Girl with Backpack, yes. Girl with Backpack, yes.
Is Girl with Backpack canon, though?
Girl with Backpack is Tessa. Like, she was in...
my Zoom keeps crashing.
She was the girl that had a backpack.
That's on
behind
the network, right? Okay. Is there any way you could play it differently?
What is she talking about?
Thank you, okay.
I like how Tessa forgets she has the mic. Like,
oh my gosh. I'm so sorry. Hold on. Oh, did you guys hear that?
Yeah,
because you
unfortunately.
I like how you were whispering it like we couldn't hear it, which made it even better. Hey, can you just not do that? Like, can you just do that somewhere else?
Hey, can you like play that for me? Okay.
No,
okay,
my bitchiness has been caught on camera.
It's okay. I didn't hear
anything. No, because he's playing a game and it's taking up all the internet.
Wow.
And that has to, because my, it keeps crashing. Like, this keeps crashing, and I don't, and I think it's also because it's raining in New York, so there's only, like, a limited amount of internet anyway at this point. So he's playing a different game now.
Dang, he can't play can't play Baldur's Gate. Damn.
Can you not have fun?
He can play Baldur's Gate. He can play Baldur's Gate. That doesn't take internet.
He just can't play Helldivers.
He's like, oh, you can play Baldur's Gate, the board game.
The board game. Yeah. Hey, can you just like not breathe?
That's just Dungeons and Dragons.
Can you just breathe over there?
It's just Dungeons and Dragons. Can you just read? Can you just
Wait, was I that mean?
Welcome, Raphael, by the way, to the podcast. This is literally exactly what the podcast is. It's us just yelling at each other.
That's cool. Yeah. It's cool. I'm enjoying it, B.
Yeah, we have like 15 minutes of Tessa having technical issues. JP making
every.
All right. I wanna ask you. Ask you about your horror content. Like, what got you into that?
Ooh, all the horror content.
Oh no, it's this podcast. Oh dear, they warned me.
Wait, hold up. Are you scared of horrors?
I'm not a horror person, but I'll sacrifice that for the pod.
We've had a bit of horror on this podcast, actually. We had
a few talks
of horror. Yeah. We had a podcast about death, like on this podcast. So.
That's deep, dude.
So we're pretty youths.
We had like exorcisms.
Oh, that's right. And me sleeping in a haunted house. So yeah, we've had our fair share of horror. So,
damn.
I know. I just
damn. Yeah. Okay. Well, the question. So I was at like a place in my life where I didn't want to do photography anymore, and I was just doing random stuff, and I was like, okay, let me just dabble in TikTok, and I kind of ran out of ideas. And one night I was like, you know, I really like horror stuff. Let me talk about the Manananggal. And so I made a TikTok about it and it blew up. It got like 10,000 views. And I was like, okay, I think I got something going. Yeah, it was scary. I scared myself, honestly, but I'll talk about that later. But after that, like, I kind of just did the same thing over and over and over again, and it blew up. And I was like, okay, I'll just keep going. But then eventually I kind of posted every day for 6 months and I burnt myself out. So I took a break from that, and I haven't bounced back. Maybe like every now and then I'll think of like a story and I'll just research it a little bit and I'll record it. But other than that, it's not consistent as it was before.
Well, I mean, every day for 6 months kind of sounds like really, yeah, time consuming. You were like in rough. There. Yeah, yeah. That was like the pocket. You were just sitting in that pocket.
Yeah, and every video took at least an hour to make.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, so I had a lot of time investment into that.
Oh yeah, talk about the process of making your videos. What do you do? How do you find those images and stuff?
Honestly, just Google.
Oh, just Google.
I find the scariest thing that I could find, anything related to the topic at hand, and I just post it. And then I go on CapCut, and I just do a little like slideshow thing, and then I voiceover.
CapCut, yep.
That was it. It's easier. It's like better than DaVinci and Premiere. So,
like, how do you get, like, do you research the stories first, or you already know them, or like, how do you find your info?
So the topics I find usually on Google as well. I'll search up like Filipino urban legends, Chinese urban legends, and basically I just go from there. And then once I find a topic, like let's say I find the duende, I'll Google duende, and I'll go to all the sources, try to get all the stuff that I feel is like the most important information, and then I'll type it out from there, and then I'll record.
Mm. Has there been like a story that like really scared you?
The white lady.
Oh, the
really? White lady.
That's interesting.
That's the one that scared me the most, because I had an experience.
Tell us about it. Tell us about it.
Oh my gosh, no.
It was while I was making those videos, and my cousin warned me. He was like, yo, if you make these videos, you're going to open a gate. And I was like, I don't believe you. I don't believe you at all. And so I made the video of the white lady. And the next day at work, there's like this thing that we put under the patients, right, to collect the blood. And when we were cleaning up, I pulled it out. And when I looked at it, it was a face. And that scared me so much. And after that, I just sage my place. And every time I do like a scary video about like a spirit like that, I will make sure that I sage the place just for like protection or whatever I can do.
Okay, great.
That's interesting.
That's crazy.
You're straight up playing like real life Phasmophobia right now.
Yeah, right.
You're just like,
it's scary, dude.
Put salt around, drinking, you need a temperature monitor.
Yeah, monitor, the EKG or whatever.
Was there anything about the myth itself that like freaked you out?
I think it's just nostalgia purposes, because growing up, my parents would always tell me, oh, the white lady, watch out, blah, blah, blah. Don't go to this place, don't go to that place. And yeah, that was it. And there was like other stories that like happened in Jersey that kind of freaked me out, involving the white lady.
Mm.
So I don't know, like a lot of experiences made it resonate with me a lot.
Oh, yeah. Tell us about the stories in New Jersey.
Oh,
we hate Jersey.
That's true.
Give me more reasons not to go to Jersey.
I know how, like, New Jersey is already like the horror.
It was in my neighbor's house, and he told me that when he cut the tree in the backyard, there was a white lady that was living under there. Well, in there.
What?
And
in the tree?
In the tree, something like that. Do I believe him? As a kid, probably. Now, I don't know. And he said that when he would look from his window into the backyard, he would see the white lady just staring at him.
Oh,
and yeah. And we would have barbecues at that dude's backyard, so I would always be scared to go there. And yeah, that's just what happened, man. It's one of those stories.
Was it just a Karen like saying like it,
just
like,
a
were
Caucasian
they part of a
woman,
like, yeah, just an HOA, and you're just like, this is your grass is too long. Maybe she lived in the tree, because like the tree is like against HOA standards. Come just trim the tree. It's like, you actually need to trim this tree.
No, I appreciate the humor, KP. I appreciate that.
Because so of the horror.
For the viewers and listeners at home, what is the legend of the white lady?
Mm.
As I mute myself and deafen everything, so I don't know the story of the white lady.
I know. I'm literally, I can't hear you guys anymore. I just can't. No.
Also, my computer, like my computer faces a window, so I'm literally looking outside while you tell this story.
Oh, ooh. Perfect.
It's okay. There's a lot of white ladies in our neighborhood, so I'm not super.
In Los Angeles.
Stupid.
No, I'll stay on mute. I'll stay on mute. Just like, can you make it very factual, like not sensational? Just like, give me the details, like as if I was reading like a news report, but like a not sensationalized one. Like, matter of fact, make it as if I'm reading like a textbook and this is like what's happening. You know what I mean? Like, very boring, like biology class. Let's do that. Yep.
Sounds like you're just like, do a true crime podcast. The year was 1895.
Give me a very factual, like, historic representation.
The Philippines still fighting for its own independence from Spanish colonization. The town, Cebu.
Cebu.
Like, freaking.
Were you asking the white lady just now?
Yeah, real quick, if you can.
I bet I wasn't paying attention. This is so
funny. He was like, Tessa
is like trying
something
to make her own show real quick. All right, do it this way.
All right, so the white lady.
Go ahead.
The white lady is usually an entity of a woman, and it is a spirit that usually underwent trauma, kind of like sexual abuse sometimes, just like died a violent death, and her spirit is just kind of just vengeful, you know, and she can't rest in peace. So wherever she died, that's just where she lingers the whole time. No one really knows how to free her, but she kind of just exists. And it's not just in the Philippines where she exists. She exists everywhere else. She exists in Ireland. She exists in China. She exists in Mexico. All different names, like La Llorona.
Yeah, Llorona, like, about to say,
La Llorona, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's very reminiscent of that story.
And also the Hispanics, the Spanish urban legends, they're very similar to the ones in the Philippines, like we're very tight.
That makes sense. Okay, I appreciate how you explained that. It was just, this is what is happening, and that is it. Thank you. Mm-hmm. I will be able to sleep slightly better tonight.
I think my mom saw the white lady when she was in the Philippines.
Oh my gosh, come on, Angela.
When she was pregnant, she was living in a house in her mom's house. And then there was a woman in the bathroom on the toilet. And then she thought it was her mom. So she was like, okay, like, I don't know. Because sometimes her mom doesn't close the door when she uses the bathroom. And then she goes back into the kitchen and her mom was in the kitchen. And she was like, wait, I thought you were just in the bathroom. And then the bathroom door closes. And then she goes to the bathroom and it's like locked and she can't go in. And then I'll try not to make it scary.
It's just too late.
Long story short, it's like there was a woman who used to live there. She was murdered and she was like buried in the back. So they had to get a priest and they had to like bless the home, and then she didn't see the woman again.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
I'm not going to your family home. That's
just don't invite me. Two weird things. Yeah.
It would be funny if you found out later it was just like some like white tourist that was like, I don't know, like, and you really need to use the bathroom, can't find one. Just snuck in through the window and just used it. And like, I saw a white lady using the toilet.
Super pale.
And
tourist.
Then she heard it. I'm like, oh shoot, I better leave. Just knocks the door and looks out the window. It's like, Greg, come on, we gotta go. I'm like, why? Oh, there's someone in that house. Like,
they're just backpackers from like.
Yeah, there's a bunch of backpackers in the Philippines. Like, just a white couple in the Philippines.
Yeah, they're like Swiss for some reason. Who knows?
Yeah, right. Yeah. Something.
I'm trying to make it light because there's a bathroom in my room right now, and I don't want to wake up in the middle of the night. I'm like, there's a white lady here. I wonder if she's single.
Oh nah, bro. I close every door of my apartment when I go to sleep. I'm like, nope, this door is staying closed. The closet is closed. The bathroom is closed. I'm
what if
shutting
you
the
wake
blinds.
Up? Why
oh
you
no,
wake
nope,
up and
nope,
the
nope,
open?
Nope, 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 nope.
Yeah, there's a white lady in my toilet.
Then I'll die, bitch. I don't know.
Oh my gosh.
There's
like
cute,
in
though.
My hallway there's like a hole in the ceiling, and there's like a wooden block that's just like haphazardly on over the hole. And I told my roommate, like, oh, there's like a woman living upstairs, and like at night she like slowly opens the hole and like sticks her head out to like see, and then she like walks around. So she literally like always locks my door now. I was like, okay, fine.
Scared her.
That's yeah, scary. Why would
oh
you do that?
Gosh, Angela!
That sounds very
letting
Angela,
me in your roommate
I love,
now.
I love horror. I love because I when I was
I would
kid,
break the lease. I would dead break the lease.
Yeah, I love
I
horror.
I would move in. I'll be like, wait, is she really there? Because if not, it's really like, in. You know.
So okay, what happened when you were younger, Angela?
Oh, I was just like, I used to see ghosts because we used to live in a mansion that was like me and my family and my aunt and uncles, and then the aunt of my dad. We all lived in that house, and it was like super haunted. So they like demolished it and they made it into like three homes. But yeah, I used to see ghosts like all the time.
And that's why you like horror?
Yeah,
they like didn't fuck with her. Probably she was too like the ghosts were scared of her.
Yeah,
like,
right. Yeah, no. This was like this. Was, she thought she was in Foster's Home for Imaginary Friends, and she was like, "Oh, look at all my friends!" And it's like, "Oh, headless man and freaking the white lady," and they're over here like bleeding from their eyes, and she was like, "Yeah, he's just crying. It's fine."
All the ghosts be like, "Did you see the brown lady?" Just Angela walking around.
it's like Monsters Inc. Oh my God, there's a child.
Exactly. Ah. Like, we're more afraid.
Did y'all ever
you.
Have a ghost experience?
Who, me?
Angela is the ghost experience.
We know, yeah, Angela is the ghost. This whole time, actually. I had an experience with my grandfather. It wasn't really, like, big, I think. It's like, he passed away when I was 3. And I remember it was either, like, the day of the funeral or, like, a few days before the funeral. I, like, went into his and my grandma's room, and it was, like, super foggy. For some reason, but this is like during the day, so it's like daytime foggy, And I don't know. I just kind of associate that with like grandma's house. It's like everything's just like dusty and foggy. So it's just like, okay, I'm just in grandma's room. Because I usually play in her room because my cousin tries to scare me all the time. So like her room's like the safe place. Because if like my cousin tries to scare me in her room, he'll get balot. So like I'm like, oh yeah, I can play here. And I remember walking in her room and then my grandfather was there. And I was like, oh, hi, Tatai, what are you doing? And he was like, oh, here, this is for you. And he gives me like this necklace. And it's like a little cross and there's like a diamond in the middle of the cross. And I was just like, oh, thanks. And he's like, oh, keep it safe. And I was like, okay. And then I run off, right?
Keep it safe.
And then I give the necklace to my grandma and she was like, oh, where'd you get that from? And I was like, oh, Tatai gave it to me. And she was like, when? And I was like, just now. And she's like, uh-huh. And then that was it. So, but I actually lost that cross like a couple of years ago on the train in New York. Yeah.
Yeah.
I put it in my
Jumanji'd by that
something.
Cross.
Something. That's a very wholesome experience. Aww.
Yeah. Yeah. That was my experience.
That wasn't scary, at least.
My cousins actually. Okay. So, earlier in like one of the earlier episodes of the pod, I found out that my uncle was a witch doctor.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
And he could do it was called Hilut, and it's like a form of like massaging, but he also like murmurs these words that no one knows the meaning of, and it's supposed to like heal you. So every time I had like a really bad fever, like my mom would bring me over to him, and then the next day I would like immediately not have a fever. And so his family always sees our past family members like the day of or the day before or the day after the funeral. Like they'll be visited by like our family. So like my grandmother passed during COVID and my cousin, so he's my uncle's son, his son, so my nephew, saw the grandma like sitting on top of their car as they were driving away from the funeral. He was just like looking up into the sky and he's like, oh, there's grandma. And then like my cousin was like, yeah, grandma's up in heaven now. And he's like, no, she's on top of the car. And he was just like, okay. And then like when my uncle passed a couple years prior, my aunt was like, oh, I heard like him whistling in the house. And she was like, because like my uncle loved to whistle like a specific song. And she was like, oh, I heard him whistling in the house. And this was like them getting ready to go to the funeral. And then something with my grandpa happened to them as well, but I can't really remember what it was. But they always get visited.
Damn.
Crazy.
Sitting on top of the car, that's scary.
Apparently he was fine with it. He was like, oh, hi, grandma.
How about Lola? Lola's on top of the car. No one's going to get out. And like, oh, Lola, you want to see you?
Hilo itself isn't witch doctory, right? Because I've had Hilo massages before.
Uh-huh.
Edwin?
Yeah.
She wasn't murmuring anything.
Yeah, uh-huh.
You don't have to hear it for it to be a murmur.
Yeah, you don't. No,
it was offered
fine.
In the spa, like next to the hot stone massages.
Uh-huh. Let me just look up what the word helot means. Because I looked up what the word helot meant before. And
I like how Tess is like quietly losing her ish right now.
Helot is an ancient Filipino art of healing. It uses manipulation and massage to achieve the treatment outcome.
Manipulation of what, though?
Spirits.
Ah! Why? I didn't...
There you go.
It literally just said traditional Filipino massage. So I
and,
was
it,
like,
and it is one.
Oh, what kind of traditions? It's not the freaking, like, it's not the tinikling. Like, it's not that kind of tradition. It's traditional Filipino. That would be an interesting massage. A tinikling massage would be an interesting massage.
Okay, so for the Hilo, all she did was she, like, warmed up, like, banana leaves or palm leaves, and then she just placed them on my back. Like that was the extent of it. And then it was just a normal massage.
Okay. Yeah. No, so you're fine.
You're fine for now.
You're fine.
I still got a crink in my neck, so it didn't do that much.
So you didn't get the right kind of healer. You're supposed to go to a witch doctor.
Right. There you go. That's fine.
You have to get the blessed oil with like the rose inside the baby oil, and then
You know something hilarious is my Lola. She keeps like, you know, like Windex, like the Windex containers. She just has like a Windex container of holy water in her kitchen.
Yeah.
And then I'm just like, Mama, what's that? And she's just like, holy water. And I was like, but why do you use it for? She's just like, oh, squirt.
That holy water killing COVID.
Yeah, holy water.
I know.
Extra flavor to the food.
Oh yeah, we got oil at the church. So whenever they do like altar call prayers, like some of the guys praying for you will like put oil. But I'm pretty sure it's just like the canola oil from like because they put them in vials,
they're putting
right?
Canola
so
oil.
It looks all fancy, but then when you put it on, I'm just like, this kind of just smells like the regular vegetable oil, like freaking from canola or something. Like,
damn.
Like you know what I'm talking about, like the in bulk containers that you get in the grocery store.
Like from Costco.
They put them in little vials so they look fancy. And it's like, this is freaking like, no, like you cook bacon with this. You don't freaking.
Someone like blessed it or something.
Maybe. I mean, who knows?
Yeah, the holy trans fat, you know.
Yeah. You know. Procter and Gamble blessed it.
Yeah. Not Procter.
All right, Raph, I got another question for you because it's been really one sided with this guest conversation.
Yeah,
you're good.
It's all good. No, but you Ed mentioned you did photography. What kind of photography were you doing? Did you do anything professional, hobbyist?
A little bit of both. So I did some client work, but my specialty was conceptual portrait photography.
Oh.
And yeah. So I kind of leaned on the creepy side, and that's how I made a name for myself.
Mm.
I don't really have a... Hold on, let me pull up an example.
Did it kind of like creep out of the whole... Because you met Ed at like a... at a Comic-Con, so did it creep out of like the whole cosplay scene, or?
I think I'm not sure. Ed, do you remember when you saw my Instagram for the first time? Did you see like creepy photos or no?
Yeah. When I saw it for the first time, the first things that I saw were like I can't remember exactly. It was like either the kitchen or the bathroom one, and it was just like multiple hands and arms coming out of like something. Yeah. And I was like, oh, this is really cool.
Whoa.
It was
kind of like that.
Oh.
Yeah. So I do portraits like that. What's another one?
Oh.
It's very JJK like now.
A little bit, yeah.
I like it.
Thank you.
Nice.
Thank you.
You're ahead of your time, Koya. If you just waited a little bit longer and did this with JJK, it would have been crazy stupid.
It would have been dope, man. But I couldn't do photography anymore. It was really hard.
Really? Why? What happened?
I got my inspiration from a very dark place, so I don't like to be in there. Yeah. So the only reason why like the stuff was like
La Llorona
actually good.
every time I take pictures, she'd appear and I'd have to like edit her out.
That too, dude. It scares me sometimes. Like I'd be editing in the dark and I just like I see things in my peripherals and there's already a scary thing in front of me, so I don't know if it's in my head or if it's like for real.
All right.
A ghost editor.
Yeah, right. Mm. There's a ghost editor.
Like add a fourth hand, but I only took pictures of three. I'm like, trust me, add a fourth one. I'm like,
oh, all right.
That'd be interesting.
Yeah, is there meaning to the term ghostwriter?
Well, I'm gonna get a little nerdy right now, but what did you shoot with?
I shot with a Sony A7 R2.
Ooh,
nice.
That was my baby, yo. Oh,
did you sell it?
You still have it?
Yeah.
Oh, you do Fuji now?
I do Fuji. Yeah.
Oh,
I got
fine.
The X100V because of the hype, and then I didn't like it, so then I upgraded to
because
the
of
X-H3.
The hype. You're good.
Exactly.
It's like that. I mean, most of the Fujis feel like very street photography because of the lightness, and also because of the. I mean, because you're not getting full frame on those, right?
No, it's crop.
Yeah, it's crop. So like, it feels very kind of like street photography, whereas like the Sony is like. That's just a powerhouse. You can do everything with that thing.
It does everything, but it's just so expensive.
Yeah. Oh yeah, the like just maintaining it, the lenses, everything that goes with it. I ended up going Nikon, but I did just stills. So
I miss Sony. I'm not gonna lie. Like, I regret getting the Fujifilm, I will say.
Oh really? What?
It's hype, bro. I remember my friend got a Fuji, immediately stopped using it. Then he did full video and went to his Blackmagic, and he just never used this Fuji. I was like, everyone just got hyped on it. Like I said, I think it's a street photographer's tool.
For sure.
Just because of the crop sensor, because of the lightness. I mean, it's great. It's great for stills, but man, it just feels like it's that one line. But it looks cool. It looks cool walking around with a little Fuji. Yeah.
Like, hell yeah, it's aesthetic. It looks good.
Yeah, it's a great fashion piece. It's like tantamount almost to like a Leica, but you know when you're looking at a Leica, but it has kind of that same frame.
Yeah.
And then the lenses kind of look the same as well too. So like people kind of like that like vintage modern look.
Always.
It's all hype. Yeah. It's all hype. I totally feel you, and it's like I got it because of the hype. I'm like, yes.
Mm-hmm.
I can totally see it because all my friends got Fujis because of the hype, and then the smart ones just doubled down. Yeah, like videographers went to Sony. I had a friend that went Panasonic, and then like photographers. I mean, yeah, they just settled on either like Sony, Canon. What do you think about Canon? Like Canon users?
Honestly, I think Canon, Sony are the best. Number two would be Fuji. Everything else in the bottom. No offense to Nikon. Sorry, dude.
Okay, it's none taken. Yeah,
I mean, Leica, that's in a different class on its own.
Oh, honestly, yeah.
Yeah, that's
all good. Love. Nikon is just, it is also just like one trick. I really feel like Nikon is really, it's a stills camera. Like people who use Nikon for stills really get it. And then that's why Nikon people, I hate saying this because I hate Apple, but they're like Apple people. It's like once you get into Nikon, you're just like, I can't leave. It's like, it has everything that I need. But it also has that whole like, you can't get out. You can't get out and you're just like, freaking Canon. Like, and then you have so many opinions of a Canon. Sony though, like I would trade all my equipment for Sony. I trade all my equipment right now just for a Sony body. Forget the lenses. Sure. Like I'll save more money for the lenses, but it really feels that way when you're using a Nikon. It's just like, it has everything. The picture saturation, the raw images, and it's so good, and the files are so huge that you keep so much data on all the raws that I shoot. Like I'll talk to Canon users and they're like, give me your raws, because they have like their own editor, and I'll give them the raws. I'm like, don't ever give me your raws again. Like your raws are so huge. They're like, I thought your raw was gonna be like 20 gigabytes. It's like, no, my raws are like 50 to 60 gigabyte. Megabyte. And they're like, it's so much. And it was like, never give me your raws again because they're so huge. Yeah, they retain so much data. But anyway, that's my finish on photography nerding out. But basically, when you saw the photographer's like, that's pretty good talk.
Yeah.
Yeah, Sony's great.
A secret I will tell y'all is that I don't know the fundamentals of photography whatsoever.
It's fine.
I just point it, take it if it looks good, and that's it. And I just make it work. So when people talk about like these random like stuff, I'm just like, yeah, dude, I don't know. I'm sorry.
Oh, like aperture, RAWs, ISO, you know that. You're like auto.
Oh, Pinocchio looking at.
You shoot an auto, bro?
Shoot an auto.
No, I shoot manual. I will say.
Right.
Okay.
Right. Uh-huh. I shoot manual.
I'm about to say, I'm like, you start shooting auto. I'm like, I don't know if we can be friends.
I can't go past ISO 800. That's my rule. That's my thing.
Yeah. No, that makes sense. I mean, and if you're doing things like portrait, there's no reason for you to go over 800. I think more the ISOs are like more for like events photography, like when you have lesser time to manipulate lighting. Anyone that goes above 800 doing like studio lighting, it's just like, no, you're just not, you just don't have the right lighting set up. It's just too much. It's too much if you're going like 1200 1600 almost, like why? Like it's a studio shot. Like why would you have to go there? Why would you ever have to go that hot? You should have the lighting for it. Yeah,
exactly. Oh, after conceptual portraits, I because I couldn't do that anymore, I tried to do street photography. Mm. And I was not into it. I tried. I still try every now and then. I get a good shot every, like, a couple times, but I don't have the passion for it anymore. So honestly, this camera is just like sitting in my closet. If my friends want like photos or something, I'll do it. But yeah, I'll do what I can.
I get that.
That's okay. Self-healing, self-healing.
Yeah.
Yeah. I understand the street photography thing because it's just like, at the end of the day, you're just taking pictures of angles, angles and buildings. And it's just like, it's hard to find a passion for it that's not post-production. Mm-hmm. Because like especially like a lot of street photographers, they do like the super saturation, they do symmetry shots, and it's really just like, I found the shape and then now I'm gonna spend 3 hours on freaking like Lightroom to make that shape look even nicer.
Exactly.
So you're not really taking a street photo, you're taking a shape and manipulating it to make it look nice, like on a post-production.
I see, so they're also fake, KP. That's how you really feel.
Damn.
Bro, they're all fake, dude. Like, everything,
damn,
like
okay, tell me how you really feel.
You're not capturing a moment. You're creating one. That's you're what
creating
it is.
One.
Mm, it's not true. it's not a bad hobby, but you're creating a moment, not capturing one.
That's deep.
That's what a lot of street photography is. Yeah, I rarely see like any kind of street photography, at least on like TikTok, Instagram, where they're sharing, and it's just like, yeah, you're sharing what you shot, but then what you're really sharing is that like two and a half hours that you took to manipulate this photo.
Mm.
Yeah, that's what you're really highlighting. You're not highlighting the fact that you like found this like really cool couple on the street. Like you're manipulating the fact that you can remove everyone around them, make it look like they're in Times Square alone, and then like darken all the other images so like makes it look like everything's shining on them. I was like, yeah, like duh, like you're looking at basically a Lightroom painting. You're not really looking at street photography.
That's a good
point. But that was hard for me too, because I love walking around LA. There's a lot of really great sites, but then when I went to like share it, I'm like, I mean, everyone knows what the Walt Disney Concert Hall looks like.
Yeah.
So what makes it special? And I've had to manipulate it way too much for me to like make it look special. So I like, forget it now.
Understand.
Yeah. You're taking a picture of something that's really pretty. Like, what are you doing to make it look prettier? Type stuff.
Exactly.
Like your aim.
Mm-hmm.
Mm, I can see how you get burnt out of that.
Yeah.
Not even burnt out. You just be like, well, everybody's already doing this.
Yeah. There's no emotions. Well, I can't convey it at least. So it's just not my thing.
Mm.
But how'd you feel like when you were like shooting cosplay? Because there is a little difference between it.
I only did it when I went to the conventions, but I don't know. It was like another thing too. It's just like, I'm just taking pictures of people's costumes. That was it. They're making their pose. There's not much I could do. That's all. Yeah. It was fun.
I get that.
But I still don't get it.
I like it as a fan.
What was that?
Like I like walking up to a Goku and I'm like, I know the image I want you to do.
Yeah.
So like I liked it, like when I was doing it, I liked it as a fan because I made people who were dressed up like relive. So just a certain joy when you're just like, I'm a fanboy too. In fact, can I capture you doing something very fanboy, fangirlish? Depending on like the thing. So it's like if I walk, there's one photo that's still on my Instagram where it was Broly.
Yeah.
And I made him like, so I made the guy, because the guy was doing Broly, but he was also like, he was a bodybuilder. So like he might be the only person that's qualified to do Broly because he didn't have to wear a bodysuit. His body was the bodysuit. So like I literally made him charge up. And then like in post-production, like I actually gave him the green charge up aura.
Sick.
So like that was fun. That was fun manipulating. Fire. Yeah. Yeah. Because it's like, we are both nerding out. We know that Broly has like green like Saiyan aura, so it's just like, it'd be really cool if I can recreate this, and then that's what I gave him. He loved it, and I loved it too, because it's like, at least then when you're recreating something that's nostalgic. So
yeah, I like that.
Makes sense.
There's like a thing with Instagram too, where it's like, because I dabbled in everything, right? And I got my following mainly because of the conceptual portrait photography, and I feel like once you gain that following, you put yourself into a sandbox. So the moment that you post something other than what you normally post, everyone's just like, what is this? What, and it messes with your head. Yeah, it's I don't know. It messes with my head. So I kind of stopped because of that as well.
No, that's understandable. It's like that one episode of SpongeBob with the striped sweater. Does anyone remember that?
Yeah. The best time, to wear a striped sweater.
All the time. Yeah. He thought he was so big because everyone loved his like burgers. So then he was just like, oh, well, I got to go do this now. And I got to go do this now. It's like, but everyone only just wanted him to make burgers. It's just like, bro, just.
Oh,
it was like, yeah. It was like one of those things where it's just like, oh, you're like thinking that you got to do all these things, but everyone likes you for what you're already doing. And they just want you to continue doing it.
That was beautiful, Ed. I felt that. Damn.
It's a hard transition. Yeah.
Oof.
But it's like it's also like the thing where it's like you're watching a Twitch streamer that you always watch and just like, well, I'm not like, why are you playing this game? I don't want to watch you play this game. I know you for that one. So like, go back to that one.
Mm-hmm.
It's that same idea. So I feel that. I feel that.
That was good.
So you went to Japan recently. How was that?
Japan was fun, man. That was my first solo international trip ever.
Oh, true.
Wow.
Solo dolo?
Solo dolo.
Did you bring like a tripod or something? How are you getting these pictures, bro?
I messed up because I thought I was going to buy myself a tripod.
Oh.
But I was like, you know, it's okay. I just found random people. If I see them holding a camera, most of the time, I'm pretty sure they could take a photo. So I'm just like, yo, here, this is a reference shot. I want to be right in the middle. And just take it from me. And then he took it. Yeah.
Wow.
Nice. Okay. Trusting people with your camera. Very Japan.
They're really nice about that. They're not very. That would be one of the best places to hand someone your camera.
I'd be nervous of the tourists, though. Because the tourists.
The tourists would be the sketchy ones.
Would be the sketchy ones in that area.
Yeah.
Whenever
they call you, what was it?
I would hand off my camera to people. I would typecast them and it'd be like, okay, is that, I was like, let me find like the really, really cute girl with the guy who's holding everything. And then I want the guy that's holding everything to take my picture.
Oh, damn, dude. He's already doing it.
Because you already know that he's the Instagram boyfriend. He's got to know how to take the picture. He's going to be the one.
I hate that.
It's because I used to be that guy.
He's like, I've been through it. Now you have to be.
I was the one holding the tripod in the camera. And then I flipped the camera to be like, is this what you want? Okay, great. Flip it back and then be like, okay. All right. Yeah. Give me the angry face, but like the happy eyebrows. Angry face, happy eyebrows.
Cover all the angles.
And then she'd be like, I hate them all.
I'd literally take like hundreds of photos. Hundreds. Of like the same outfit in the same like time span. I got to a point where I just like set the shutter speed at like super fast. So I would just take like multiple pictures at like one time. That way I could like say I was taking hundreds of photos.
How big is your memory card?
We were using like 100-something gigabytes.
128.
Yeah.
Oof. That's not too bad.
Yeah. It was okay. Yeah, it was okay. I think the biggest problem was the expectation around it. The like, oh, you have to get this shot when I want it kind of thing. And then me not taking the time to like actually understand how she liked it being composed so that it could shorten the time next time.
Right.
And it would just be like one of those things where it's like, okay, I like dodge this bullet now. Let me just recuperate instead of like, okay, I dodged the bullet. How do I learn from it?
I hate that. I've
been just sending my boyfriend TikToks of like how to take video. It's like the girls are like, ladies, send this to your man. And I'm like, I will. Thank you. Yes. And then he's been getting better. But no, there was one time we were in Hawaii and obviously he's not a, like, he's such a boomer boyfriend. Like he's a boomer nerd boyfriend. Like he could be 57 in like a 27-year-old body, you know? But so I understand it's like not his forte, but he also understands that this is my forte. So we're coming to a compromise, right? So like Ed gave his perspective. I'm going to give the girlfriend's perspective, right? For this conversation. So there was one time we were in Hawaii and like beautiful, gorgeous. I live at the beach. Like I love the beach. I do so well. And there was like this rock and I was like, I want some aerial photos. I want to pretend I'm Ariel. I was in a blue bathing suit and I was like, this is perfect. And he's not a beach person. Like he really does not do well. He gets headaches when his head gets.
Poor John.
I know. He's like just, but I mean, we're in Hawaii, but like he didn't, granted, he did not complain about being in water the entire time we were there because we were in Hawaii. It was beautiful. And he actually did get in. But I was like running around the beach. I was swimming in the ocean. I was like, can you get these photos? And he was like, okay. But at this point, it was like our last day. We had packed up, like we're trying to go. He was like mad sunburn, all this stuff. So I think he just wasn't really feeling it. But he said he would take the photos, right? So then he took some of me and he was like doing his best, you know, like he had his shoes on at that point. So he took them off so he could get back in the sand, all that stuff. So he was doing his best, but he didn't exactly what you said. He didn't take the time to like look at the photos, right? So I get them back and I'm like, I was like, and he's like, what's wrong? And I was just like, and I was like, do you think this looks good? Do you think I look good in this one? Really? Is this like, would you post this on your Instagram of me? Like, would you? And I went through all of them and he was like, no. And then I was like, yeah.
That was a no. I don't know if that was an agreement. No, that was a, I don't know what it.
That was a yes, ma'am.
That was like, how do I end this conversation?
How do I end this conversation?
Yeah. How do I get out of this? How do I dodge this bullet?
Even if, like, I have a funny feeling if you shared that photo to him, he would have been like, yeah, like, he would have just done it. He was just like, yeah, sure.
No, KP, there was one where my face was like, it was like my eyes were half open and then my mouth was like curved. And, like, all the photos were like that. Like, all the photos, there was something just, like, it wasn't like, oh, these are cute. Like, but, like, maybe you look a little off or maybe it's, like, not the best angle. It was, like, there was something noticeably wrong in each of the photos.
Oh, no.
So then I, like, pouted for a little bit. And he was, like, do you want to go back and take more? And I was, like, no. And then he was, like, are you sure? And I was, like, yes.
And then Boba. And then
And then he was like, I'm sorry. And then he was like, I'm sorry. I was like, it's okay.
Aww.
I'll just be sad. Come back to Hawaii. Because I didn't. That was the other thing is I didn't look at them until we had left. Because like at that point, like,
no.
Yeah, at that or until we had left the beach. So it wasn't until I was in the hotel room that it was like, okay, because it was so quick. And I honestly, like, I don't really take that long when taking photos. I need like maybe 5 minutes of like, okay, let's do some good angles, like 3 to 5 minutes, and I'm good. Like, I'm not gonna spend like a 15-20 minute photo shoot on like one thing. It's just like click it, get it, go. But that one was disappointing because that was like, when am I gonna go back to Hawaii, you know? Especially with the Maui fires now.
Yeah, so there's no photos that you were able to salvage.
No, there were not from that shoot though. I don't think I posted anything from that one though. There were no aerial photos, I should say. No photos of me pretending to be Ariel.
That's okay.
Yeah.
That's okay.
Yeah. More like Sebastian. Sebastian photos.
Yeah, Sebastian. I felt like Sebastian.
Flounder photos.
Some flounders.
So literally
scuttle photos.
Literally. You know what? That might have been what he was going for.
That would have been fun. That would have been like just get a picture where you really didn't come out well and then just look for like scuttle. And then it's like, I think that would have been great. It's like, I told my boyfriend I wanted Little Mermaid photos and
Ariel.
It was just like, yeah, it's like, it's like scuttle. And then it's like freaking the sea witch. And then like one of the, and it's like
side
you,
by side.
You and one of the eels, like flotsam or jetsam. That'd be funny. That would have been funny.
Yeah.
That would have been great content.
That's pretty funny.
Yeah. But I will say he does better now. But I feel like I ask him less now too. Cause it's like why be, I don't know. Cause it's like, I can tell he doesn't really like doing it and I don't want to like, and so I'll only do it if like, I really like my outfit or I really like want to get it captured. But like, I remember like when I was just hanging out a lot with the girly pops more often, like I had such fire photos all the time because the girly pops know how to take them. And, like, whenever I'm hanging out, like, if I go on, like, a girls trip or I'm hanging out with my besties, I'm just like, why am I so hot in these? Like, Like, and I'm not, and I was like, and you, I look like a sea witch 90% of the time, but I look like, who's that? Maleficent. Mm. Angelina Jolie.
In these. Angelina Jolie.
Yes. Mm. Anyway.
Oh, it could be Malignant, like the horror movie.
Yeah, I worked on that one, actually. That was nutty.
So what helped me a lot was, you take the photo of him and then be like, this is what I want. And then he has something to look at. Yeah.
Okay, that's good.
Yeah.
That's a good one. Thank you.
You like pose him and then take it from the angle. And then so he can see where you're holding it. And then you show him what the picture looks like. And then he'd be like, okay, so you're holding it here. And this is how you want to pose. Okay. That helped me a lot.
Normally what I do is I get the camera exactly where I want. And then I just bring his body over. And make him press the button. He is my tribe.
No, yo, deadass, I used to do that too, and it'd be like I would just have like the front facing camera on and I would just be holding it. And then I'd be like, okay, this one, okay. This
that works. One,
okay.
Oh.
And like this, okay.
I've never done that, but maybe I should.
I mean, yeah, if he doesn't mind, it takes the guesswork out of it, and then you won't be angry at him afterwards.
Okay, I like that. Thank you for these tips.
Yeah.
Look, you said you worked in the movie, what is it called? Malignant?
Oh, Malignant. Yeah, I do entertainment PR. That is my day job.
Oh, how was it working on that film since it was a horror?
Oh, it was fine. I mean, it was nothing new. Like for horror films, honestly, they're more stunty. So a lot of times we'll do, like for the PR, we'll do like a stunty mailer, or like a stunty screening, something like that. So it was a lot more of that kind of thing. I also work in like Asian American PR, and there weren't really, I think there was one Asian American actor in it, and he had a role, like he was a significant role, but he wasn't like a lead or anything, so we couldn't do much with that. But yeah, it's a lot of like fun stunt things. That one I didn't do too much on, but I remember like I got the screener a few months before it came out, so we could work on it.
That's kind of cool. I like that.
Yeah. The one that I actually really loved. So what is it? Nun 2. So that one came out.
I had a nightmare about that like yesterday.
I actually didn't find it that scary, if I'm being honest.
It's just the image that's scary.
Which way?
She's scary looking.
Of her. Yeah. Yeah. But then I don't know. You really, she just has like a shitload of makeup on. You're just like, ugh. But for that one, it was really fun. This example of like a stunty thing is so there's the whole thing to do with the eyeballs, you know, in that movie, there's like the whole thing with the eyeballs and how like those are the, spoiler alert, but those are like basically what they're trying to get to like cleanse her out. It ends up being something else in the end. But the eyeballs, because they were such a big plot point, we decided to do like an eyeball bouquet. So an eyeball cake pop bouquet. So they were all eyeballs, eyeball cake pops. And I remember I like contacted a vendor, the reference images, like went back and forth the studio and figured out what we wanted. I also had her like decorate the boxes. So we got boxes, and I think we got them in black. Oh no, I wanted them black first because I wanted it to look more like a coffin, but I think we ended up doing white. Yeah, we ended up doing white, and then there was like black filling and stuff. And there was like, she also put like edible insect, it like edible looking insects, so like gummy insects. So there's like a cockroach, a spider, and then also like Oreo to be like dirt and stuff. And we like we handed those out to like influencers and like press, and had them basically delivered by costume actors dressed up as like multiple nuns.
That's sick.
Yeah, that actually was a fun one because it wasn't too hard, and it went out fine. So that was good.
It's pretty cool.
Yeah,
I would be freaked out.
they knew that we were coming, though. It wasn't like we just arrived unannounced.
That would be funny.
That would have been good.
That would be terrible. No,
just a nun or like,
oh my gosh, no, they did. So I forget for what movie it was, but there was some mailer that they sent out to influencers and press, and it said like, oh, we know, it was something like, we know where you live, like we see you, da da da. And like they open it and the influencers and press had no idea who it was from. So it like actually really did freak out a lot of people. So, I mean, it got people talking about it, but like, I don't think it was super smart because like, I know what happened, but I don't know what film it was for, you know?
They didn't have the film on the bottom, like as like a...
I don't know. Maybe it did and they just didn't flip it over or something like that. Who knows? But like, there was a press that we work with, or a press contact that we work with pretty often. And she was like, yeah, it really scared me. I was about to call the cops or something like that.
I would too.
Shit, yeah.
That is a fair...
No such thing as bad press.
That's true.
Raphael, you have a new song out?
Oh, you have a song?
Shit. Yeah, I do.
You have music?
I'm also a rapper.
Oh, okay.
But I'm not a rapper.
No, I'm a poet. I'm a poet. That's a what poet. I do.
Chicken nuggets.
Oh, what you going to spit? You going to spit something?
Wait, did you hear that like rap battles are really just two grown-ass men spitting poetry to each other?
Yes. Pretty much.
Yeah. Slam poetry. Duh.
Slam.
My friend actually in January did a rap battle.
Fire.
That was really good. If you think about it, like when you look at the rap battles, they're both very insulting, but also very they're very endearing, because in order to insult somebody, you really have to know a lot about them.
Yeah.
So like the more like you call them something, the more you're just like, but I care about you, bro. It's a really weird way of like showing you, bro, you care about them by really going deep and insulting them and their family and then like all their interests. Because like you had to like get deep into their life and care about their life to insult their life.
Oh my gosh, KP.
Yeah.
All right. I want to hear Rahel's rap that came out.
Oh man, you really want me to rap it right now?
Do it. Live on the pod.
Hold on. I wrote it like maybe like 2 weeks ago, so I kind of forgot the lyrics. Give me a minute.
Off the beat. Here we go.
It's all good.
But I will tell you what it's about. It's actually really cute.
Oh.
I wrote it for a female.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you did.
And honestly, that's the only time I wanted to write something in a very long time. Usually it's like some sad stuff. I don't know why. But this was like one of the first songs
Dango,
that I ever
what's
wrote.
Her, what's
was
it? What's happened. Her Instagram, bro?
Kuya.pongok.
No, what's her Instagram?
Oh, her Instagram? I can't put her on.
I'm kidding.
Chill.
Oh, like, oh. Like,
yo, shout out to her.
You wanted to write something about her. I'm like, ooh, dude. She got it.
Man.
It's all good, man.
The lyrics right now.
I feel you, dude. I want to hear it.
Yeah.
I'm finding his Instagram.
Where is it?
You're just going to look. It's like, so who's while you, been following lately?
While you got look it. For it, what is the Pongok? What is Pongok? Is that your last name?
Pongok is a nickname that my cousin gave me when I was a kid. It means short Asian guy. In Tagalog, apparently. And once I started making a name for myself using that name, he was like, yo, I need some royalties for that. I was like, no, get out of here.
Absolutely not.
Exactly.
Damn.
You need royalties.
Made fun of me my whole life for that.
like a word that everyone uses.
Yay.
No, it's not. I'm sorry.
Yes. We inside.
No, that's not it either. I'm sorry. I can't do it right now.
No, you're good. You're good.
That's okay. Yeah.
Shame. No, I'm kidding.
Not. It's okay. But it, like when I wrote that, she heard it for the first time, and it made her feel like a type of way because no one ever heard a song like that before. Yeah.
It made it feel some type of way.
Yeah. It made me feel
cute.
A type of way too, though.
That's cute. Hey,
let's go. Mm. Praying for you, bro. Let's go.
No, she's sweet. She get all the flowers. You know what I mean?
She get all the eyeball flowers.
Cake pop eyeball flowers. Cake pop Oreo.
Just an eyeball, cake pop eyeball flowers, and just like, I see you.
For every Valentine's Day, get your boo cake pop eyeball flowers. They won't regret it. Absolutely not.
They won't forget it.
Oreo dirt. Oreo dirt is also an option.
Oreo dirt in a
jar.
We
love dirt here.
Mm-hmm.
Oreo dirt in a chocolate coffin.
In a chocolate coffin. Can't go wrong.
Listen, that paid my rent, so.
And it just be like, I dig you. I dig you.
That's a good one.
I'm a poet, bro. I'm a poet. Let's go. I'm a freaking
chicken nuggets,
poet.
Bro.
Bars.
But I'm not a rapper.
I can't rap. Like, I can rap like other people's raps, but I can't rap.
Yo, it could be drizzle. We could...
Wait, can someone explain that to me? I don't understand it. I don't understand
drizzle. Soft guy era.
What's
so there? Drizzle? There is a TikTok user. I don't know their tag or whatever it's called on TikTok. Their account name, but she came up with a video, being like, okay, if your guy doesn't want to do this, and this, that's just giving broke. Sprinkle. And then like, so it'd be like it's like those that magic pixie dust. It's like, oh, he's broke. Sprinkle.
But I don't understand.
And so,
I
still don't understand. So that is the sprinkle. It's just like one of those weird catchphrases that she used to like talk about. She's sprinkling like it's like, oh, this is news to you. He's broke. This is news
to
you.
It's like the cloud is revealed. Sprinkle. Okay, got it.
Yeah. So now it's like the guys are using it as like, drizzle, because they're reversing the sprinkle. Yeah.
For lack of better. On.
Yeah. Sprinkle. Go back up.
Do you know who else does? Rizzle. What?
Rizzle.
sprinkle, or drizzle.
No. Rizzle.
Rizzle.
Who?
Well, thank you so much.
What? You gotta say who?